1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number... Oh, I'm going to start in verse number 8 and end in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I don't know what I told you. I'm getting old. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse number 8 to the end of verse number 10. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the Word of God, the perfection of the Word of God, and what that means, what the Bible teaches concerning being perfect. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. I pray this will be a help. Lord, please teach us. The Holy Spirit of God, open our eyes and help us to believe thy word, Lord. And bless those who are sold on the way to church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Charity never fails. We know charity is not love. Charity is love in action. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues. You know, Mark 16, they said, Jesus said they shall speak with new tongues. But the Bible says here, there's going to come a time where tongues shall cease in verse number 8. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. The Apostle Paul is writing here. He says in verse number 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. You have to understand, when the Apostle Paul is writing this, that he is writing the New Testament. All they had at that point was the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. And so, Paul is in the midst here of writing Scripture. And he says, we know in part, in verse number 9, and we prophesy in part. That means we only have a portion of the Word of God. We only know in part what we should know. Verse number 10. But when that, it's very interesting because it's not a who, it's a that. But when that which, not a who is come, but which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. God spoke to people through an audible voice in dreams and visions all through the Old Testament. God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus spoke to Moses face to face. You read Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to them in dreams and visions. They saw God, they heard God, and they wrote down what God told them to write. They knew in part. And they wrote down their vision, their dreams, and what they heard God speaking to them. And when they wrote it down, it gives us the word of God that was revealed to them. But as it was being revealed, it was still the Word of God, but as it was being revealed, God was showing us more and more of the Word of God. Perfect in the Bible does not mean sinless. Too many times we get a wrong idea of a Bible word because we just don't understand the word itself. One of the most important things you'll ever get yourself is an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. I'm not saying it's the best thing out there because the Bible is the best thing. But if you want to know the English meaning of the words in the King James Bible, I have found the best place to get the best meaning is outside the Bible is Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's the closest to the meaning of the words in the Bible. Perfect does not mean sinless or error-free. Or without spot. Or without corruption. Perfect in the Bible means mature, grown up, and finished. Everywhere the word, and you'll see, we're going to go through a lot of Bible verses this morning. Everywhere the word perfect is mentioned in the Bible, it is used as a term of being mature, grown up, to the full, to the end. That's what perfect means. The reason we don't understand that is because we live in the most immature generation in American history.
Yes,
people are so imperfect, have no idea what perfection means. They're not mature. And that's why people can't swallow the King James Bible today. Most people just discard it. So I don't understand it. How can you not understand the these and the thous? That's not hard to understand. No, you're just too immature and you're just too babyish of an individual to simply believe by faith what God says in the Word of God. I want you to remember that what the word perfect means, because now read this again, verse number 10. But when that, it's a thing, which thing, it's a thing, not a person. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Well, before we had visions, before we had dreams, before we had tongues, yes, 1 Corinthians 14 is full of things about speaking in tongues and forbid not to speak in tongues. And Mark 16 says they shall speak with new tongues. But I got news for you. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 10 comes a lot after all those verses where it says, when that which is perfect is come, and we want to show you it's the Word of God, then that which is in part shall be done away. That's why we don't need dreams anymore. We have all the dreams of God right here. We don't need visions anymore. We have all the visions of God recorded in the Word of God right now. We don't need God speaking to us in tongues no more, because all that was spoken and revealed of God, the revelation of God, is recorded for you and I right here in the Word of God. That's why Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy right now than even Moses had, or Jeremiah had, or Ezekiel had, or Isaiah had, or all the prophets combined. We have a more sure word of prophecy in our hand, because this is it, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to go through that this morning. I want to show you some things about the word perfect, though, to make you understand it does not mean sinless. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. I want to get this out of the way first before we go concerning the Word of God and the ways of God. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 13. Now, there's plenty of verses, if you know your Bible enough, that not only is Jesus God, obviously, John 1:1 and plenty other verses, but he is sinless, the Bible says. He is without sin. He's without corruption. Jesus God, and he's the spotless Lamb of God. He is sinless. But in Luke chapter number 13, Jesus uses this phrase here in verse number 32. Luke 13 and verse number 32. He says, verse 31 and 32, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. Can you imagine calling somebody a fox? Like, you should never call anybody names, you know, or never name names of people that are wicked. Behold, I cast out devils and do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be what? Well, that doesn't mean he was going to finally get rid of all his sin. It just means the fulfillment of the reason why Jesus came. It was to die. It was a death, burial, and a resurrection. That's why Jesus came. Not just to teach and to heal people and to be kind and to show people the love of God. Jesus came to die for our sins. He came to be crucified, he came to be buried, he came to rise again from the dead. And the third day, he would be perfected. That means he would reach the fulfillment of the purpose and the ministry for which he came for. The reason why he came. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter number, I've written down here, Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 9. But we see who? Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know who the captain of our salvation is? The Lord Jesus. Jesus was made perfect, matured, fulfilled to the end, totally, the ministry totally grown up through sufferings. Not that it made him sinless, because he's already gone. He's already sinless. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter number 5. Verse number 8. Though he were a son, capital S, S-O-N, Jesus. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made what? Perfect. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? Jesus was made perfect. Now, he was God before, he was sinless before, but just like you and I, you mature. Hopefully, you grow up. The Bible says that in Ephesians. Grow up. That's why God commands. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 5. It's a commandment for you to be perfect. And people who have no idea what the English language is, take one verse out of context, and says, well, God says you have to be sinless. But you'll never find those words anywhere in the Bible. Because who is without sin? But you will find that God's command is for every person to grow up and be mature. And put away childish things, the Bible says. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Doesn't say sinless, just means perfect, just says perfect. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew 19. Verse number 21. You want to be mature? We'll see how mature you really want to be. It's going to cost you to be mature. Amen. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Hey, you want to be mature? Everything God's given you is God's for other people to use. We think it's ours. But the reason God's blessed us so we can be a help and a blessing to others. Yes, to our family. Yes, to our church. Yes, to missionaries, yes, to other people. But you want to be perfect? You want to be mature? Realize that you're not going to take anything with you except for souls, amen?
That's right.
You're not taking your house, your car. You're not taking your things with you. You're not taking possessions with you. A person who's mature realizes what the most important things in life are, and that's spiritual things. Take a Bible, please, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And that's what preaching is for. To mature people. That's why, listen to me good, immature people don't come to church. Look, I understand people have to work, and sometimes they're sick, and sometimes there's things that come up. Look, I'm not oblivious to real life situations. But when it's a constant thing, that's just a sign of immaturity, or disobedience, or rebellion, or stubbornness, or a lack of spirituality, or a lack of salvation. I don't know, I'm not the God who can see hearts. I'm just saying it's a fruit of some kind of tree in your life that you're producing. Ephesians chapter number 4. This is what we have church for. Verse number 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the what? Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You ever notice people come to church the most are usually the ones that are the most mature? That's an obvious picture. Not all the time. I know there's exceptions. Some people come to church for some apparent unknown reasons to some people. I don't know. But the more you come to church, the more mature a person, a Bible-believing church, the more mature a person becomes. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a, collectively now, a perfect man, the church. Perfect, charity is the bond of perfectness, the Bible says. The unity of the body of believers. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Immature people read the NIV. Immature people say that the King James is too hard to understand. That's immature people, ladies and gentlemen. By every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may what? That's the same Greek word for perfect. Grow up. Into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So, the same word that's translated in some places perfect, the same place here, grow up, is the same Greek root word to grow up, or perfection. To the full end, to the measure, to the finality, to the end. Delos, meaning the end. The totality. The full measure of growing up. And that's why the King James Bible is just not sinless or error-free, it's complete, it's full, it's perfect. When I say it's perfect, that means it's complete, full, it's come to the fullness of it. Luke chapter 3. The Gospel of Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse number 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they heard the word of God. These are saved people now. I don't care what anybody else teaches. These are saved people in verse number 14. Go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Watch this now. And bring no fruit to perfection. That's why they're caught up with the things of the world. They're caught up with life. They're caught up with pleasure. They're caught up with the responsibilities and burdens of life. And they don't think the spiritual truths are as important as the conflict and the pressures in their lives. That's why people don't go soul winning. That's why people don't read their Bibles. That's why people don't come to church. That's why people don't tithe. That's why people don't work in a ministry somewhere. And that's why people don't have the right kind of standards. Because they don't think the spiritual truths and the spiritual principles are as important as having an iPad or a Kindle or a laptop or a cell phone. When you think those earthly possessions are more important than spiritual truths, then you understand fruit to perfection. Doesn't mean it didn't have fruit. It's just not fruit to perfection. And God has called you and I to perfection. To be perfect. Sure, we're going to sin every single day. The Bible says if you don't sin, you're a liar. If you don't confess that you've sinned, you're a liar. You go ahead and read Romans chapter number 7. The conflict that the Apostle Paul had with himself, fighting evil and righteousness in his own mind, in his own conscience, in his own soul. Every person has that struggle if you're honest. Amen. These religious leaders who claim you can be sinless are lying to people, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. They're full of themselves. Sure. You sin every single day. You just have to realize that you're a mature person realizes their position in life and that they're just nothing but a sinner saved by grace if you're saved. If you're saved. An immature person thinks very highly of themselves. Oh no, I've not sinned for the last 2 weeks. I've not sinned for the last year. I've lived, quote unquote, this perfect life of sinless perfection, they call it, where I've not sinned against God for the last year or 2 years or 5 years. Because, you know, 1 John says if you have sinned, then you're not saved. That's what 1 John said. But that's separating the soul from the flesh. James chapter number 2, please. James chapter number 2. So, the people are caught up with the world. And I don't, look, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor and in between. I'm just telling you, people are caught up with the world. You're more infatuated with your movies and your videos and your television and sports. You know, sports is a god today. Everybody worships sports as a god. And so, these are folks, it does not matter what your financial state in life is. It's just the fact that you think the things of earth are more important than the things of heaven, the spiritual truths in the Word of God. James chapter number 2, verse number 22, talking about Abraham. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made what? Your faith is mature because of your works that you do for God. Ask yourself this question: what are you doing for God? And I'll show you how mature you are. What are you doing for God? And that'll reveal how mature you are. How much do you read your Bible today? How much time do you spend on your knees by yourself? I think a family ought to read the Bible together as a family. But by yourself, how much time do you spend reading the Bible? And by yourself, how much time do you pray? When's the last time you tried to witness to somebody? When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time you led somebody to Christ? These are things. By your works, your faith is made perfect. You're mature. Without works, your faith is dead. That means, not that you're not saved, it's just you have nothing to show for it.
Right.
Chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is what? A perfect man. And able also to bridle the whole body. So, the more you keep your mouth closed, the less you talk, the more mature you will become. Well, at least people will think you're mature, amen. Why open your mouth and remove all doubt, amen? But in Genesis 6:9, Noah was perfect. In Job chapter number 1, verse number 1, and verse number 8, in Job chapter number 2, verse number 3, Job was perfect. You going to tell me Job was in the center? You going to tell me that Noah was in the center? No, but there was a time where they were at a point of maturity that God was able to use them. And God will never use you until you grow up and become mature. And understand the most important things in life. Everybody's just so caught up in their video games, and you know, and their iPods and their iPads and everything else. And downloading this and applications. But you know, we're masters of those things, but we have no idea about, like I said last week, about the knowledge of the Word of God. We know what time our favorite program comes on. We know the actors and the actresses in our favorite movies. We know what year our favorite sports team won the Super Bowl or the basketball championship or the Stanley Cup or the World Series. But very shallow when it comes to the Word of God. My Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4, his work is perfect. My Bible says in Psalm 18:30, his way is perfect. And in those same verses later on, my Bible says that my way, because of his way, can become perfect. In 2 Samuel 22:23, my way can be perfect. In Psalm 18, verse 32, my way can be perfect because his way is perfect, because the word of God is perfect. My Bible says in Psalm 19, 7, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, I know you and I, the first thing we think about is perfect is sinless or without mistake. No, it's just the mature word of God to make to get you saved. Amen. And I'm not saying it's not sinless. Obviously, it's without error. Acts chapter 24. Acts 24. Hebrews 13:21 says that God makes you perfect in everything or every way. Acts 24. One of the reasons the breakdown of our society is we're just an immature society. If something doesn't have cartoons and pictures in it, you're not interested in it. If it's just black and white, like I was saying last week, and you go Bible study, I forget now, we're talking about doctrine, I think it was, that, you know, there was a time the newspapers had nothing but print in there and had words in there. And people read newspapers. People read the news. People read the current events. People read international news. Today, if you don't have a video online, or if you don't have a picture on a paper to read the English underneath it, you're not interested in reading it. It's too boring for you. But our society 100, 200 years ago was a much more mature society than we are today. Acts chapter 24. Verse number 22, and when Felix heard these things, watch this now, having more perfect. If perfect was sinless, how could you be more sinless than sinless? He had more perfect knowledge of that way. All right, friends, there's a growth in your life, and you may be mature, you may have reached a certain maturity at this level in your life, or at this age. But that does not mean months later or years later that you can't be more mature than you were previous. You may have been mature when you were 10 or 15. You know, some children are very mature for their age. Most children are not. If you're going to go online, you know what I do? Look up the videos of 2 and 3 year old Japanese kids playing pianos and instruments at 2 or 3 years of age, and while you're watching idiot games with your thumb and your fingers, wasting your life away, doing absolutely nothing. No. We live in a very immature society, but you become more mature. You can be more perfected. Take a Bible, turn to Acts chapter number 18. Acts 18, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. Remember that later on, because the man at Alexandria, that's Egypt, by the way, didn't know much about the Bible. Great soul winner. He's concerned about people, but he didn't know anything about the Bible. Born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing, watch this, only the baptism of John. Well, if you just read the verse we just read, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent, verse number 24 says, mighty in the scriptures, in the ones that he knew only. Which he ought to be, and you ought to be, and I ought to be. But you... most of us don't understand or don't know or forget that during the first 1,500 years after Christ, nobody in Europe just about had a complete Bible. They only had books of the Bible. They may have 5 or 10 books of the Bible. And every church only had 2, 5, 10, maybe 15 books of the Bible. And that's all they majored in. And a lot of times before the printing press came out, what they used to do is they used to exchange their portion of the scripture with another church hundreds of miles away, so that now that church can use those scriptures for the next year or two, and that this church would use scriptures that they haven't used for the last 2 years. And so when you read about church history, some Baptists believe some things that weren't completely correct or off the wall. That is the reason why. But that gives you and I no excuse for obeying the whole counsel of the Word of God, because we have a more perfect word of knowledge today. But what happened in the first 1500 years, they only had portions of Scripture. But when they got more of the Word of God, they became more mature in that area where they weren't mature and they didn't know. Acts chapter number 18, verse number 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Watch this. Who, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That means, oh, there's more than just the baptism of John. Oh, there's more to this than what I knew. Wow. And he started just drinking it up, started eating it up. That's what church is for. That's what it is. You start learning more about the Bible. Because most people are just lazy, don't read the Bible. That's the bottom line. They're uncaring. Acts 23. Acts 23. Verse 15. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow. Talking about Paul. As though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. As if they're, you know, trying to catch Paul to kill him, but they're saying we want to learn more and more and more about what he has to say. And in verse 20, it's the same thing. It says, and he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. We want to know more. We want to learn more. Well, perfect means mature, growing up. In 1957, in April, when I was born, I was John Cletus. When I was 5 years old and went to kindergarten, I was John Cletus. When I graduated high school in 1975, I think it was, at 18 years of age, I was John Cletus. When I joined the United States Marine Corps, oh man, 25 years old or 24 years old, I was John Cletus. When I got married when I was 26 years old, I was John Cletus. In 2013, at 56 years of age, I am still John Cletus. Along that way, unfortunately, I have to admit, most of the times before I was saved, I was very immature. Regardless of that, I was John Cletus at all those stages. Do you understand what I just said? Sometimes I was mature, sometimes I was immature. You should never ask the 1978 John Cletus, who just got saved November 1978, what he thinks about the Bible until you check out with the 2013 John Cletus, who is a lot more older, hopefully wiser, and much more mature John Cletus. Because my views on some things have matured over the years, and I've hopefully grown up and become more wiser. And I say, you know what? I didn't see that thing about 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I didn't fully understand and comprehend that issue 10, 20, 30 years ago. But now I more fully understand that. I am more mature in that issue than I was 10, 20, 30 years ago. Hopefully, God willing, if God lets me live longer, in 10, 20, 30 years, I'll be hopefully much more mature or more perfect in mind, if I don't lose my mind or any more of my mind. But I'll be, it's, when it comes to spiritual truths, I'll have more maturity because I'll have studied more, I'll have read more, I'll have prayed more, and I'll have hopefully understood more of the Word of God and the doctrines of the Word of God. So when somebody uses a quote, listen to me good, from Dr. Jack Howes in his 50s, in the 1950s and the 1960s, and they use that as a statement, well, this is what Dr. Howes believed, that's very disingenuous. Because in 1990, Will Howes came out and changed some of the things that he unfortunately said when he was in his 30s or 40s. Our friends, the Word of God has matured, has been perfected. Sure, nothing wrong with the Old Testament, but if you don't take the New Testament or the Old Testament, that's a very immature a position to take. People who are Jews and lost, who believe the Old Testament, are not saved because they haven't come to the New Testament yet. And they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah in Isaiah chapter number 53. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and turn to Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 18, please. You may be mature at a certain age or a certain time in your life, but that doesn't mean that you can't be more mature or more perfect. Isaiah chapter number 18. Isaiah 18. Yeah, but I heard you say this. Well, you better check with me today if I say the same thing, amen. Yeah, but you said about 10, 20 years ago, I heard a message you preached somewhere. You said this, that it could be true. And I'm not saying it's not, because I can't think of anything that I preached that was wrong, I'll be honest with you. Because I'm always right, and you know that, so we don't have to worry about that. But Isaiah chapter number 18, verse number 5. For the harvest, when the bud is what? Perfect. That's interesting. Has no fruit, but it's a bud. Has no flower, but it's a bud. And the bud is perfect. All right, well, there's a seed, there's a stem, and then the branches come out, and you first thing you have a bud that comes out. You see the bud on the tree. And then that pops that flower out with the seed inside, all right? And then the fruit comes from that flower after it gets pollinated. But in each of the stages, it is perfect, if it is perfect. And it can be perfect in each stage. Not sinless, just perfect in its mature state. The Word of God has always been perfect, because it's all through the Bible. I don't care whether it was just the first book ever written was the book of Job. I don't care if it was the first five books of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy. That was perfect at that time. And as God revealed the Word of God, and as the dreams and the visions were given, and God's Word was revealed, it became, guess what? More and more perfect until we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 10. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We don't need dreams today. We don't need visions today. We don't need tongues today.
Amen.
Psalm 12, please. Psalm 12. Verses 6 and 7. First Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says, after you have suffered, it'll make you perfect. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is our love made perfect. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth out fear. And it goes on and on and on. We're just immature in our, what we think is love, is very shallow love. It's not really love. It's immature. Because perfect love casts out fear, the Bible says. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And you know the word seven in the Bible? It just connotes completion, perfection, as we're talking about it today, finishing. The word seven is a very special number in the Word of God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, the words of God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. forever. It's very interesting because the King James Bible in 1611 was the seventh English Bible. In 1526, William Tyndale publishes the very first English Bible. In 1535, Miles Coverdale publishes the very first complete Bible in English, Old and New Testament. In 1537, the Matthew's Bible is printed. In 1539, the Great Bible is printed. In 1560, the Geneva Bible is printed. In 1568, the Bishop's Bible is printed. And then in 1611, the seventh English translation is the King James Bible. There's a reason for that, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to tell me, preacher, that Tyndale's Bible is not the Word of God? No. I'm going to tell you that. It was perfect in its time. Are you going to say, Miles Coverdale, which is the Word of God? Is the Hebrew the Word of God? Is the Greek the Word of God? Or is the English the Word of God? Well, let's go back to what my statement was before. Never, never take the opinion of a foolish, idiotic, unsaved teenage John Cletus before you check out with the 56-year-old, more mature, saved John Cletus. If the Hebrew, if the Greek, in any way may seem to contradict anything in the English, go by the 1611, ladies and gentlemen. You always be safe, amen. You always be right. In 1752, the Douay Rheims Bible in modern English comes out. In 1764, the Quaker Bible. These are all English translations and versions or perversions now. Pay attention to this. I'm not making this up. You're going to think I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. In 1808, Thomason's translation comes out. In 1833, Webster has an edition. 1844, Brenton's English translation of the Septuagint comes out. In 1852, Murdoch's translation of the Western Peshitta. In 1853, Farrar Fenton Bible. 1862, Young's literal translation. 1864, the emphatic Diaglot, New Testament. 1876, Julia E. Smith Parker translation. 1885, revised version. 1890, Darby Bible. 1901, American Standard Version. 1902, the emphasized Bible. 1908, the Pauline Epistles, a new translation. 1917, Jewish Publication Society of American Version. 1926, Concordant Literal Versions. No, version. 1926, Moffat, New Translation. 1933, Lamza Bible. 1935, an American Translation. 1936, Westminster's Bible. 1941, Confraternity Bible. 1949, the Bible in English. 1950, the New World Translation. And then they revised it in 1960. And then they revised it again in 1984. 1952 was a revised standard version. 1955, Knox's translation of the Vulgate. 1958, the Berkeley version. 1962, Children's King James Version. 1963, Judaica Press Tanica. 1965, the Amplified Bible. 1966, revised standard version, Catholic edition. 1966, Jerusalem Bible. 1969, Bible in Worldwide English. 1969, Modern Language Bible. 1970, New American Bible. 1970, New English Bible. 1971, The Story Bible. 1971, King James Second Version. 1971, The Living Bible. 1971, The New American Standard Bible. 1972, The Bible in Living English. 1973, Cotton Patch Series, New Testament. 1973, the NIV that has the sodomite on the revision committee, and it's owned by Rupert Murdoch today. 1976, an American translation. 1976, Good News Bible. 1978, New International Version. 1982, New King James Version. And I'm not even putting all these in, by the way. I'm skipping some. 1985, Recovery Version of the Bible. 1985, New Jewish Publication Society of America Version. 1985, a literal translation of the Bible. Finally, we got one. 1986, Christian Community Bible. 1986, New Life Version. 1987, Revised English Bible. 1989, New Revised Standard Version. 1990, New Revised Standard Version. Gender inclusiveness, this one. 1990, Modern King James Version. 1991, New Century Version.
1993, the Scriptures. Finally, we have the Scriptures. 1994, Clear Word Bible. 1994, the Living Torah and the Living Tanakh. 1994, Lesser Bible Tanakh. 1995, Contemporary English Version. 1996, New Living Translation. 1998, Third Millennium Bible. 1998, Complete Jewish Bible. 1998, New International Reader's Version. 1989, Easy to Read Version. 1995, we finally have God's Word. 1996, New International Version, Inclusive Language Edition. 1999, The Common Edition, New Testament. 1999, American King James Version. 2000, King James 2000 Version. 2000, English Jubilee 2000 Bible. 2001, Easy English Bible. 2001, English Standard Version. This is too funny, I keep reading this. 2002, The Message. 2002, English Standard Version. 2003, A Voice in the Wilderness, Holy Scriptures. 2004, Updated King James Version. 2004, Holman Christian Standard Bible. 2005, Conservative Version. 2005, Today's New International Version. 2005, New English Translation. 2005, Dadhar Translation. 2007, The Inclusive Bible. 2008, Orthodox Study Bible. 2008, The Comprehensive New Testament. 2009, Catholic Public Domain Bible. 2010, The Work of God's Children Illustrated Bible. 2010, Hallelujah Scriptures. 2010, King James Easy Reading Version. 2011, International Standard Version. 2011, The Fresh Agreement, God's Contract with Humanity. 2012, Jesus Disciples Bible. And stay tuned, there's more to come, ladies and gentlemen. Now, which one would you go with? The only one that's brought revivals, or the perversions that are brought their authors, filthy lucre? The love of money is the root of all evil. Satan wants to get you away from the King James Bible and to anything else that you can possibly read, so you don't have no power with God. So you have very little knowledge of God, or a warped version of the Word of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. Dear God, help us to cling to the inspired King James Bible, Lord. And help us, Lord, to read it. Help us to obey it. Help us to memorize it. Help us to share it. And Lord, help us to live by it and to die by it. Bless, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take about 5 minutes. We'll come right back. 5 minutes.